Well, for the past 5 weeks, I've built a case based on God's Word as to why the world of psychiatry and secular counseling is built on a foundation of sand compared to biblical counseling, which is founded on the Word of God and built on the rock. This morning, though, I want to begin to zoom in on what is considered to be the most common and most widespread mental illness amongst Americans today. Anybody know what it is? Depression, absolutely. A Harvard psychiatrist by the name of Armand Nicolai has been quoted as saying, "Mild or severe, depression affects more people in our culture than any other emotional disorder." Dr. Heath Lambert, executive director of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, professor of biblical counseling at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, says that depression is the most common mental illness amongst Christians, that more Christians are diagnosed with this than any of the others, and that the numbers keep going up and not down. Folks, personally, I love life. I absolutely love life. My email for years has been loving life. I at some point have been told I'm going to build a sign to put up at our place, and it's going to be called Loving Life Acres. I just haven't put it up yet. But about 10 to 15 years ago, I fell into an extremely deep pit of depression. And I have fought it over all these years. As time would go by, I would just feel emotionally and mentally numb. I felt at times like I couldn't function. Making decisions was really a challenge. Even simple decisions. I would go through periods of just absolutely feeling hopeless and just say to myself, why bother? Many times life felt like I was just trying to walk through quicksand. I had a lot of times where I would just sit by myself, I would just stare into space and just wonder, what is going on? I would go out walking with the intention of having prayer time, but because my thoughts were just kind of like frozen, I really would spend time out and not say anything to God. At times I questioned God. At other times I questioned His Word. Many times I felt like God had let me down. I felt like He had abandoned me. Every so often my wife would ask me, "How you doing today?" And an answer that I gave many times was, "Vic, I just want to walk away from everything." So many times I wanted to just walk out my front door and keep going and not come back. And I fought that for years. And down through the years, depression would hit me, and it would last for days upon days. Matter of fact, this past Tuesday and Wednesday, it hit me again. But through the years, I have learned to control my depression instead of my depression controlling me. Now, before I go any further, I want to say that there are some true, genuine, legitimate physical and or medical issues that cause depression. And therefore, in those situations, medical attention is an absolute necessity. But a great deal of the depression we hear about today from all of the so-called mental health experts that they refer to as a mental illness, it's not a mental illness at all. It's just something called life. And I know some of you are going to disagree with this, but stick with me. I understand there are some true, legitimate genuine physical and medical issues that cause depression. And those are not the ones I'm talking about today. Those that get into depression just as a result of life, those are the ones I want to talk about this morning. Folks, depression has been around throughout all of human history. And I think what a lot of Christians fail to realize many times is that depression is found abundantly throughout Scripture. I did a word search this past week for various words that describe depression in the Bible. And I'll give you a few of the words I looked up. Misery, afflicted, hopeless, sorrowful, anguish, sad, mourning, discouraged, downcast. I had a whole list of these words that describe depression. I've looked them up in Scripture. And here's what I figured, here's what I concluded, or here's what I come up with. Words in the Bible that describe depression was used at least 670 times. There are numerous people in Scripture that God wrote about that suffered bouts of depression. Moses, Naomi, Job, Saul, David, Elijah, Hannah, Judas, Job, Jeremiah. Matter of fact, some of these people would hit such a deep pit of depression they wanted to die. Out of the 150 Psalms we have in the Bible, there are at least 40 of them that are referred to as personal lament psalms, where the author is seen expressing their depression by crying out to God in sadness and brokenness because of the state of hopelessness that they faced every day. I want to read for you some of the miscellaneous verses from some of the various psalms. Psalm 21, 1 and 2. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night I find no rest. Psalm 32, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. Psalm 35, 14, I went about as though I grieved for my friend or my brother, as one who mourns for his mother. I bowed down in mourning. Psalm 38, 6 through 8, I am troubled and brought very low. I go mourning all day long. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. I am feeble, utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. Psalm 42. My tears have been my food day and night. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? O my God, my soul is cast down within me. I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning? My bones suffer mortal agony. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Psalm 77, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, my hand was stretched out into the night without ceasing, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remember you, O God, I groaned. I pondered, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. Psalm 102, hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I am in distress. For my days pass away like smoke, and my bones burn like a furnace. My heart is struck down like grass and has withered. I forget to eat my bread. Because of my loud groaning, my bones cling to my flesh. I lie awake. I eat ashes like bread and mingle tears with my drink. My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass. Psalm 143. My spirit groans faint within me. My heart within me is distressed. I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. That's a very small percentage of Psalms just like that throughout the whole book of Psalms. Folks, the so-called mental health experts would have a field day with the people that write those Psalms. They would be diagnosed as bipolar, manic depressive, clinically depressive, and then they would write them a prescription of Prozac and Zoloft and Cymbalta and one of the other 40-some antidepressants that's out there. One guy in the Bible wrote this. He said, my joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick within me. Why did I come out from the womb to see toil and sorrow and spend my days in shame? Another guy in the Bible writes this. When I hoped for good, evil came. When I wanted light, darkness came. My inward parts are in turmoil and cannot rest. Days of affliction come to meet me. I go about darkened, but not by the sun. My soul is weary of my life. Therefore, I give free rein to my complaint and speak out in the bitterness of my soul. I have no concern for myself. I despise my own life. He goes on, he says, I prefer strangling and death rather than this body of mine. I despise my life. Let me alone. My days have no meaning. Why did I not die at birth, come out from the womb, and expire? Why then did you bring me out of the womb? I wish I had died before any eyes had ever seen me. The so-called mental health professionals would have had that guy checked into some kind of psych ward. They would have obviously put him on suicide watch. They would have had him attending daily psychotherapeutic and behavioral modification classes. They would have pulled out their American Psychiatric Association's Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for Mental Disorders to see what mental disorder or illness he had. They would have run him through a series of neurotransmitter tests to see just how out of balance the chemicals in his brain was so that they can know what type of antidepressants and mood stabilizers they need to fill him up with. Now, as you've probably noticed, I read for you numerous verses, even though there's lots more, from different areas of Scripture, and I didn't give you the context to any of them. And I've done that for a couple reasons. First of all, if I gave you the context and it did not fit your specific situation, you would be tempted to just write it off because it didn't pertain to you. Secondly, I wanted you to see that depression is not something that just come about in our lifetime, but has been a part of the human race since the beginning of time. Thirdly, and I'm going to get ahead of the game here, because next week I want to show you how people in Scripture got through their depression without the mental health professionals that they did not have back then. How they got through it without all the diagnostic methods and the specialized treatments. The causes of depression found in the Bible, they differ tremendously. The causes differ tremendously. Some fell into depression because they was living in sin. Others fell into depression because they was ate up with guilt. Then some experienced depression because the people around them was always coming against them. They had people that was constantly ridiculing them. Others fell into depression because they felt as if God had let them down, that God had abandoned them and was refusing to answer their prayers. Some fell into depression because they were not content with what was going on in their lives, or their circumstances that was going on around them led them into depression. Others in Scripture fell into depression because they had gone through some traumatic events, like some physical issues or death of some loved ones. Others, because they had relationship problems. Some, because they felt like a failure. Others, because they had spiritual problems. Then there were those who experienced depression simply because God was working in their lives and wanting to do some character development in them. And then there are some that fell into depression because Satan was attacking them. Now, I want to bring clarity on the last one, though. I want to add here that there is not some kind of spirit of depression that floats around and gets in people, and you got to bind them up, tie them up, and cast them out, as a lot of the Pentecostal charismatic teachers claim. That's not true, so don't fall for that one. And so, folks, here's the deal. When you get down to it, the things that caused depression for the people in Scripture 3,000-4,000 years ago are essentially the same things that caused depression in our lives in 2017. The people we see in Scripture that went through periods of depression, they was affected mentally like we are today. They become confused about things. They felt overwhelmed. They felt mentally numb. Those who suffered depression in Scripture, they was affected emotionally. They were seen experiencing times of severe sadness and discouragement and feelings of hopelessness and groaning internally and crying out loud to the point of wailing, just like we do today when we're depressed. Those who suffered depression in the Bible 2,000-4,000 years ago, they was affected physically. They had sleep problems. They had a loss of appetite. They had severe body aches. They had physical weaknesses, just like we do today. Those who suffered depression in the Bible 2,000-4,000 years ago, they was affected spiritually. They were seen crying out to God over and over to the point of wanting to give up on God. They questioned God. They felt that God had let them down and that He was not being faithful to His promises. And so here's the deal. When you get down to it, the same way that people was affected by depression 2,000-4,000 years ago in the Bible is basically the same ways we're affected by depression today in 2017. Now, having said all that, I want to repeat something I said earlier. There are some true, genuine, legitimate physical and or medical issues that cause depression, and therefore those folks need to seek medical attention. But a great deal of the depression we hear about today from the mental health professionals, which they refer to as a mental illness, is not a mental illness at all. It's just something called life. Here's one of the difficulties on preaching on depression. Is there is so much depression in the Bible, it's hard to figure out where to start. Folks, we need to ask ourselves a question here. And that's here's the question. Why? Why? Why did God feel the need to write so much on the subject of depression 2,000-3,000-4,000 years ago? Why? Simply put, because He knew depression is just a part of our lives. And because He knew that people in 2017 would experience depression. And so He wants us to see that it affected them back then. He wants us to see how they dealt with it back then. He wants us to see how they came through it back then. He wants us to see what they learned from it back then. Because it all applies to us today. A verse that comes to mind here is Psalm 102, verse 18. Psalm 102 is a psalm that begins with the author talking about all of the emotional anguish and the suffering he's going through. He's talking about how he made a transition in his thinking that led him away from his depression. And here's what he writes in verse 18. Let this be written for a future generation, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. I challenge you with this. If all the stuff that God wrote about depression in the Bible does not pertain to us today, then none of the Bible pertains to us today. Plain and simple. Let me read for you a verse I read to you 6 weeks ago when I began this series of messages. 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Now, when I say that depression has been around since the beginning of time, and that it is simply just a part of life, I am in no way, shape, or form trying to sweep depression under the rug and act like it's not a big deal or and you just need to get over it. That is not what I'm trying to say here at all. As I shared with you a little bit ago, I know from firsthand experience that depression is real. I know depression is powerful. I know that depression is life-altering. I know that it can lead to detrimental things in lives. I know because I've walked in it for 10 to 15 years. So I'm not trying to sweep it under the rug and say, get over it. But here's something else I know. God has given us examples. He has given us insights. He has given us instructions. He has given us principles. He has given us wisdom. He has given us knowledge that shows us how to fight the battle of depression. And that can teach us how to control our depression instead of our depression controlling us. A couple weeks ago when our son tried to commit suicide, I was talking to the social worker. And the social worker told me that they'd put him on a low dosage of antidepressants. So when we was visiting him, he told us he was unable to express his emotions because of the antidepressants they'd put him on. He said he could be angry and he could be sad on the inside, but he wasn't able to outwardly express it. Folks, that might be good for a brief period of time, but it will not deal with the root problems that he was facing. And it will never produce victory for him over depression. As I said a couple weeks ago, our emotions are all part of being made in the image and likeness of God. God gave us our emotions for a reason. They are a part of who we are. They allow us to express our feelings. They allow us to feel joy and happiness and sadness and sorrow and every emotion in between. Our emotions is one of the ways we go about imitating God. So numbing them don't work. But in the same way that everything that makes us humans is messed up because we live in a fallen world, our emotions are messed up as well. And in the same way that God has given us everything we need to fix all of the other messed up areas in our lives, He has also given us everything we need to better our emotions and the way we think and process things. Something I think can be a misunderstanding about people going through depression is that just because a Christian goes through a period of depression, it doesn't mean they're a bad person. It doesn't mean they're living in sin. It doesn't mean they're not spiritually mature. Well, here's what it means when a Christian goes through depression. It means they're going through depression. That's what it means. There may be different reasons behind it, but that's essentially what it means. When I got into my deepest pit of depression, I started looking in to see if depression was common amongst pastors. And I was amazed at how many pastors suffer depression. One of the world's most famous preachers of the last 150 years suffered severe bouts of depression. His name's Charles Spurgeon. Would lay in bed for weeks at times. In Scripture, we see people like Elijah suffer depression, and he was a great man of faith. We see David, who fought depression for a long, long time, many times. Scripture described him to be a man after God's own heart and the greatest king Israel ever had. A pastor, I read a lot of his material, says this. His name's Stephen Cole. Pastors of a church out in Flagstaff. He said, "We need to develop a biblical theology of emotions and weigh the world's counsel by scriptures. Many believers are defeated by depression and other negative emotions because they have not sought a biblical approach to dealing with these problems. Even the most mature believers are susceptible to depression." Folks, depression's not a respecter of persons. Why? Because it's part of living in a hopeless world. Depression is simply a part of life. It just affects some more than others. As you've probably noticed by now, I have not given you any application on how to deal with depression. And the reason for that is this. One of the keys to overcoming depression is to do things you don't want to do. Having been there, when my mind is frozen, my thoughts, my brain is just numb, I had to make myself do things that I needed to do that would be beneficial to overcome it. And so here's the deal. If you want to take a step, just a step, no one step solves depression. But if you want to take a step in learning to control your depression instead of it controlling you, if you got pen and paper, every day between now and next Sunday, read Psalms 42 and 3 and Psalm 102. Psalms 42 and 3 and Psalm 102. Now, the reason I put 42 and 43 together in the Hebrew, it's really just one psalm. It's not two separate ones. It takes 10 to 15 minutes to read them three psalms. That's it. 10 to 15 minutes to read three psalms. But I want to add to that. I want to encourage you that before you read them, go to the Lord, lay your heart out before Him, ask Him to speak to you and teach you through those psalms. Look for the verbs. Look for the action words. Look for the things where the transition took place in the author's writings. In other words, where he went from being in the pit to being lifted out of the pit. What was the transition? What was he doing? Pay attention to how the author's low moments occurred when he was focused on himself, but his high moments was when he focused on the Lord. Now, reading those Psalms each day, it's not going to solve your depression, but what it will do is get you on the path to victory. So here's the deal. When you get down to it, the same thing that the people did 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago in the Bible to control their depression, those things still work today. They still work in 2017. I want to just end this message actually with a song, not that I'm going to sing for you. A song called Even If by Mercy Me. If you know the song, feel free to sing it. The lyrics are going to be on the screen. Is that okay? If not, just sit there and take it in.
They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now I'm losing bad. I've stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be alright. But right now, oh right now, I just can't. When there's nothing to bring me down, but what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am? They say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing a little faith is all I had right now. God, will you choose to leave mountains unmovable?
We're going to take a look at some different areas of depression and maybe get more zoomed in on some things that God's got to say about it today. I just broad brushed what Scripture says. If you're one of those that suffer from depression, I'll be more than glad to work with you, talk with you, what have you. If you don't want to mess with me, you need to find somebody, a brother or a sister, that you know is spiritually mature and is willing to point you in the right direction and encourage you and cry with you and lift you up and weep with you. As you guys know that's been through it, you know it's like trying to swim through quicksand. No question about that. But guys, like I said, I'm more than willing to work with you or listen to you or whatever you want. I've fought it now for 10 to 15 years. I don't really know how long I've been fighting it, but what I did do this past week, I was going back through a lot of my old files, and I found things that I've researched and studied all the way back to 2004. That tells me I was in it then. So, Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. I just lift that up to you, Lord, because depression is something that your children are not excluded from. It's part of our lives as well as anybody else out there. It doesn't mean we've done anything wrong. It doesn't mean we're bad people. It just means we're going through it. And Lord, you have intentionally, in your omniscience, gave us story after story and principle after principle and instruction after instruction to let us see what it looked like back then and how we can apply things to our lives today. It's not a battle that's won overnight, but you certainly desire to lead us to control it instead of it controlling us. And so, Father, I just ask you to be with anyone here that is going through it or has been going through it, that, Father, they will read the Psalms I ask them to read this week, and that, Lord, your Spirit will just open up their hearts to see things in those Psalms that apply to their situations and see that they're not alone in the battle. Psalm 23, you said you go with us through the valley of the shadow of death. You didn't say you deliver us from it right away. You just said you go through it with us. So Lord, may we remember that. Lord, I thank you for all the folks that are out here today, and I just pray you be with them, Lord, as they leave here and continue to enjoy their holiday weekend. In Christ's name, amen.